Welcome, everyone, to the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast. I'm your host, Jimmy Traina. Thanks for listening during this insane time. Hope all of you are staying in, staying healthy, washing your hands, social distancing, all that. We'll get through it together. Just listen to experts, and we'll try to get through this time with no sports as well. We have John Oran from Sports Business Journal on the podcast today to talk about the ramifications from all this, what it means for sports networks, what it means for leagues. We do get into a little bit of the Tom Brady decision to leave the Patriots, what it means for CBS and Fox, and just, you know, conversation about what's going on. And hopefully you can listen, enjoy it a little bit, and get a little bit of a distraction from real life and real news. So that's this episode, and we'll be back here next week. So check out John Oran right now on the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast. All right, joining me now, during this really bizarre time, one of our SI Media Podcast regulars from Sports Business Journal, John Oran. John, hope you're doing okay.
Hey, Jimmy, how are you?
Hanging in there, hanging in there. That's all you could do, right?
Yep, exactly. Same here.
You know, it's not easy. I envy someone like Scott Van Pelt, who seems to be really focusing on the sports angle of all this. And I know he's done some things here with the tournament and seniors who were not going to get recognized. And I have to say, I'm on the opposite end of that spectrum. I don't know if I'm going to get fired for saying this. I couldn't care less right now about anything that's happening in sports. Just wondering where you've been on that one and how you've been dealing with the void of sports and what the unknown future of sports is going to be while we get through this.
This has been, unlike 9/11, which I reported through, unlike, 2008, which I reported through. This is just one where, like, this week in particular, and toward the end of last week, but definitely yesterday and today, nobody knows. I'm calling people. They don't know. They don't know how long sports are going to be out. They don't know what sports are going to look like when they come out. I mean, so they don't know. They tell me things in the morning that by noon sound ridiculous and just have already been eclipsed by other things. So it's in terms, I don't care much about sports on the field, and I don't cover the sports on the field. I mean, I'm a sports fan, of course. Right. But I cover the business of sports, and it's just been incredibly frustrating because nobody has any clue. Nobody has any clue about contracts. Nobody has any clue about like programming. Nobody, and it's really coming out where it's like, wow, everybody's just waiting for some sort of idea of, not can we return to normalcy, but when can we actually really properly strategize for the future?
Yeah.
Without knowing, where things are going to go.
Let's go on the premise that we're not going to have any live sports until, let's say March, April, May. Let's say July, since that's, I think, what Trump said on Monday. Let's say there's no sports till July. Is ESPN equipped to be okay with that, with enough past programming, enough anchors, enough talk shows they can do? Or would even ESPN, who's the behemoth in sports media, still struggle?
That's a good question. I don't think they'll struggle to the point to where it's potentially an existential crisis for them. And the same with like Fox Sports One, and the same with NBC Sports Network. Of course, with all of these sports networks, the reason why these rights fees are so high is because the only reason people really come to these networks is to see live sports programming, and all the studio shows and all the other shows around it there's a reason they call it shoulder programming, because it builds up sort of the live sports. So if you don't have live sports, I don't care what kind of stunts ESPN's going to do. Like hardcore sports fans are going to watch it. I bet hardcore sports fans are now on FS1 watching the XFL is on the XFL replay is on FS1 right now as we speak. But until live sports come back, sports channels are going to struggle. And so I think the key for these sports channels is to figure out, you know, how to create programming cheaply enough to where they don't lose their shirt over. So you're not going to really see anything with huge production values,
right?
You know, that in the interim, unless like the Bulls documentary comes out sooner than later. But you know, I use the RSNs, Jimmy, as an example. Mm-hmm. Like in the off seasons or during, you know, leading up to the game, if there's no pregame show, you know, they're going to paid programming. They're going to a library product that people really don't care about, but just might draw a small audience. And that's a way for them to save on production costs for an audience that, like, even if they were to produce a ton there, it wouldn't grow that much over, say, an infomercial.
Yeah. It does seem like, though, ESPN is pretty well stocked with things they can trot out.
Are you kidding me? They have the whole 30 for 30 series. Right. They have what was the name of the series? Sports Century that Mark Shapiro did like 20 mm-hmm. years ago.
Yeah.
I'm sure they still have the rights to that they can trot out. I'm sure they're going to be start negotiating with the league with all the different leagues to get a couple of games, the rights to a couple of games that they can replay. So they will have no problem filling out the schedule. They just shouldn't expect huge audiences to come over to watch them. I wouldn't think.
Right. It's been fascinating to see. Like I said, I mean, you know, I've had to tune out of a lot of it to keep my sanity, but you can't completely tune out of it. So you're here and there with it. And because I have to do this job, and it's amazing to see the NFL just go ahead with everything. There's a little changes here and there. The draft obviously will be different. They will not say about the season starting on time. You have, you know, Tom Brady's announcing he's leaving, which I guess all that's a good distraction, but it is, for me, there is some tone deafness there, but maybe I'm overly sensitive to it.
Yeah. I'm not sure if it's tone deaf. I do know that if you're on, you know, Twitter, which I am sort of all day now, and you're seeing, you know, society being shut down, and then you're seeing, you know, Drew Brees re-signing for multiple millions of dollars or whatever, it does start to, it can look a little bit tone deaf, but I do think it's a diversion. I think that there's a business that can still continue without the need to sort of travel and go through these aspects. I don't begrudge the NFL or the teams for doing it. It does make me, though. I mean, I think your reaction to me sounds like a pretty normal reaction. And there have been a couple of cases where it has made me raise my eyebrows.
You're getting pinged a lot while we're talking here. I don't know. I assume that's you.
Pinged by people that have no clue what's going on in the business.
I assume your radio and podcast appearances have been up this week.
Because everybody has questions and nobody has answers. I've actually done quite a few radio hits this week, which I enjoy. The question that everybody has questions and like with you, like, I don't know. I'm waiting to see, just like everybody else.
I'm curious, with all these radio hits you're doing, what's the question you're getting the most?
The question that seems to be interesting, that most people seem to be interested in, is what you just asked about, the programming aspect and how ESPN is going to fill its time, and whether or not this is an existential crisis for some of these sports networks, which it's not. But it just shows to me, like, sports and ESPN, and to a lesser extent Fox Sports 1, is just in such the fabric of sports fans in this country that they're so. When I tweet about what ESPN's program schedule is, which is nothing more than just like, you know, ESPN PR sends me an email and I copy and paste it and put it into Twitter.
Right.
Those are getting more clicks or more retweets or likes than, you know, some of my original reporting gets. People have a huge amount of interest in what they're putting on air.
I'm on that same list, so I'm going to have to start tweeting that if you're getting a lot of likes and retweets on that.
Go ahead. People think I'm a great reporter because I know how to cut and paste, Jeremy.
You have a much higher opinion of FS1 than I do, I must say. The fact that you would cite them as being part of the sports fabric. But I guess this is not the time for me to be nasty about FS1 and their programming during the day.
FS1 is it's been actually pretty interesting to watch. They they've always said that they don't have a news outlet and they're opinion based shows, and boy, that's really showing up today, where they got rid of their for this week at least. We don't know about next week, but they got rid of their studio programming, and as a result, like, Tom Brady says he's leaving the Patriots, which is, on a normal day, a story that would just be talked about ad nauseum,
as big as it gets.
And there's a bottom line. I happen to have FS1 on right now. There's a bottom line scroll that mentions it. And, if you go over to ESPN, they have their studios up and running and they are flogging this thing. It's they can finally talk about something other than the virus.
Now, do you think, cause you're in the business angle of it, let's say, God willing, let's say we all get through this. Let's say the worst case scenarios don't happen. Let's say the NFL season kicks off in September. Let's say baseball can come back, et cetera. Do you think leagues might use this as a way to adjust their schedules going forward? Like, do you think maybe baseball says, you know what, we can shorten the season by this many games? Or, the NBA, I don't know. Or do you think they're just, when this is done and they get past, let's say, 2020 and their season's in 20, you think everything in 2020 then just goes back to business as normal?
I have no good predictions for you about what's going to happen, but it just has a feel to me. Like, again, the whole 9/11 feel where you knew your life was going to change when you came out of it. Like, things are going to change when you come out of it. You just are not sure how. And so I could easily see where, baseball says, like, we need to shorten the season or the same. I mean, I wonder about if I go to a dark place. This is a dark podcast between us, Jimmy.
Yeah.
But you're not social distancing. What's it going to take to get forget about like college football. Let's just talk about like a midweek basketball game. Right. What's it going to take to get 19,000 people to crowd into a sweaty gym to see the Washington Wizards play? I think that there are real questions out there about how fans are going to respond to this moving forward. This is all hypothetical, of course, but there could be, based on that, changes that all the leagues have to make then in order to sort of, try to re-engage fans and get fans more invested into seeing some of those games.
Right. I'm wondering too, again, I know you said it's dark, but I want to try to at least stay a little positive.
Positive, Jimmy. St. Louis is beating Seattle 23-16 in the fourth quarter right now on FS1.
But is that that's an old game though, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Let's say September we get rolling here. Do you think the leagues are going to have to work with each other in terms of, are we going to have the Masters, the Kentucky Derby, the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs, MLB, NFL, all? I guess from a logistics standpoint too, there's only, ESPN would have to work some things out. Fox would have to work some things out. Are they going to have to space things out a little bit?
I would think that they would have to work with each other, if only because, if let's say Fox has, the NFL and Fox also has the U.S. Open, so one of them is going to have to go on, Fox Sports One, or one of them or it's going to I can tell you the USGA and the NFL don't want the NFL doesn't want a regular season Sunday game on FS1, and the USGA certainly doesn't want its championship on FS1. Mm-hmm. So how are they going to be able to sort of, swing around that? I think that right now the logjam that is being created in the fall with all of these postponements as opposed to cancellations is going to create a lot of column inches for me to write about, certainly.
Yeah.
Going to create a lot of havoc because of there aren't that many TV channels to actually, carry everything at the same time.
And I always have to bring this up because I am a WWE fan. It's pretty crazy because if you're a longtime hardcore WWE fan, you know Vince McMahon will never cancel anything. So they've kept things going with SmackDown on Friday with no audience, Monday Night Raw, no audience, and they announced WrestleMania they will do again with no audience at their Performance Center. It's interesting to me. I want to get one of the wrestlers on, but even that seems, I guess they're only going to have their people there, but they are in contact with each other. I don't know. It's what I don't get about it is WrestleMania is the biggest money making thing there for the WWE and Vince McMahon. You're not going to make that money. So why even go through with the event?
So I have to admit, I'm not watching the wrestling as a fan. What's it like to watch with no fans? I mean, is it cool at all? Or is it like,
it's cool for a little bit and that wears off and then it's just really weird.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I can't understand first why I'm not certain like why they made that decision, to sort of do WrestleMania the way they're doing it. And I also wonder if that's actually going to go on. I mean, you saw the UFC finally.
It'll go on. I'll tell you, because Vince McMahon's entire philosophy, what he tries to always promote, what he tries to sell everything as, is that no one entertains you better than the WWE. What they do best is entertain fans, and they're going to keep entertaining the fans.
He also did decide to shut down the XFL. Which I'm sure was tough. He was one of the last ones to do it. So, yeah. You know, we don't know. I mean, we don't know what our society's going to look like in, you know, 2 days, much less 2 weeks. So it's, call me a little skeptical that they're going to continue to go through with that.
They'll go through with it because there's going to be nobody there in the audience. So I know if I'm a betting man, they will go through with that, but we'll see how it plays out. I want to talk about Brady and get off of all this for a little bit. But one last thing. You mentioned earlier about, and I should have followed up on it when you mentioned it, about ESPN and other networks doing low budget shows. I saw before we started, there was a tweet from Tony Reale around the horn where they were sort of doing their show. Yeah, wasn't that? I have a feeling. That's what I think the creativity from people in this business, I think you'll be seeing more things like that. I got a buddy, my buddy Sal Licata, who works at SNY, a local Met station, television station. And he told me, you know, they do debate shows during the day. And he told me today they're going to try to do a virtual digital, you know, debate shows where they're all on Skype using the cameras, just like Around the Horn. So I think you could still get my issue is not that. It's more about what are you going to do? I mean, who's better, LeBron or Jordan, can only take you so far, I think. But I guess people do like that. So maybe it's just me on that.
Yeah, people like that. We are stuck in a certain way. But Burke Magnus talked about different stunt programming, which, you know, is necessary. It's going to be like, you know, top 10 Dallas Cowboys plays of all time, or top 10, you know, plays from the 2019 season, or top 10. You can really dig down and actually come up with a ton of shows, which is sort of what, you know, NFL Network does, you know, during prime time, it seems.
Yeah, it does seem like MLB Network, NFL Network, NBA TV can just use old games. You know, I'd love to see, I'm going to write about this, so don't steal this from me, but I'd love to see MLB Network give us old episodes of the Baseball Bunch with Johnny Bench. I think there's, you know, NFL Network can do some, give me some old, I don't know, Brett and Jimmy the Greek kind of things. I think there's if they can get the footage, or pay for the footage, get the rights, whatever it is. I think you could really.
Yeah, the key to that though is you have to get the highlights of it, because, you know, ESPN had an entire channel dedicated to just showing these old games.
Yeah.
And it got, even though, like, I'm sure you love that channel, ESPN Classic, I did too. It got the lowest ratings that you could possibly imagine. Fans don't watch those old games. A lot of fans say they will, but the ratings show that they don't.
Oh, I agree with you 100%. But the difference here is they don't have any other games to watch. So it's that or nothing.
It's true enough.
Right? It's that or nothing.
You know what always happened to me, Jimmy, was I was always watching that 1984 Orange Bowl, and I'd watch it, and then something would happen, and I'd have to leave the TV, and I'd miss Doug Flutie's pass, you know, and I'd be like, "Oh God, what's happening?"
I think fans, you know, they'll take that at this point. I really think they will. Let's move on from all this just for a little bit. Let's at least try to pretend things are normal here for 5 minutes. I wrote today, I think him leaving the Patriots is, I don't want to overblow it and say it's a significant hit for CBS, but I think it's a legitimate hit. When I went in and did a little research there, all the top games from 2019 were Patriot games in the top four, I think. Even if he stays with the AFC, I think it's the totality of the Patriots as villains, which means you need Brady and Belichick sort of together, and you could even put Kraft in there. Brady goes to the Chargers. Okay, CBS can say they'll get a little uptick there in Chargers games, but it's not going to be what I think it is with the Patriots. And then the flip side, obviously, is if he goes to the Bucs, which is rumored, that's a big, big, big feather in the cap for Fox there. Am I overstating all this?
Not at all. In fact, a couple of years ago when NFL ratings were going down, and I was trying to look for reasons as to why the NFL ratings were going down, a ton of every single veteran TV executive said, "Oh, it's because Brady retired." Not Brady, excuse me, Manning retired. And I thought that sounded ridiculous to me. There are 30 teams, you know, but I think they were onto something. And I think, you know, if you have a matinee idol star quarterback that is doing well and going to Super Bowls and leading his team, people respond to that and people watch that. And I think once you take that away, it's going to take a while, even though as a football fan, I like watching the Chiefs more than the plotting Patriots, you know, it's going to take a while for the more casual fans to sort of rally around that type of team.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the Chiefs are an amazing team to watch. Obviously, Lamar Jackson last year took things to another level. But I would say to people listening to this, don't underestimate the need for villains and how much people watch to hate. And that's what the Patriots were.
And those two teams, you know, the Ravens with Lamar Jackson and the Chiefs, they will grow to either people will love them or people will hate them. You know, I'm not quite sure. I am sure they're not there yet. And they could get there or they might not. Who knows? Everything is sort of cyclical. And I think that is going to hurt the NFL ratings.
Well, one of the things I should have looked up when I wrote my column was how many Tampa Bay Bucks games Joe Buck and Troy Aikman have called in the last like 5 years, because if Brady ends up there, they'll be in Florida a lot next year. That's for sure.
I'm pretty certain that has to be zero. I can't imagine they've called one Bucks game.
You know, maybe if there was an AFC team and it was their week, you know, maybe if it's Bucks at Patriots or something like that, or I don't know if the Bucks have played the Cowboys, they may have gotten
maybe.
Yeah. I guess this is an insane question to ask, but I would assume whatever ESPN's plans were to pursue a Monday Night Football booth, are they on hold right now? I can't see them going to demote Joe Tessitore and Booger McFarlane in the middle of all this. That would be strange.
From what I've been gathering, everything is pretty much on hold right now.
Yeah.
And nobody knows when it's going to be restarted. So I would imagine those plans, you know, I think they were pretty far along with certain plans. And all it takes is a phone call. Like if Peyton Manning says yes, you know, then the plans stop. Right. But I can't imagine they're going to A, announce anything, or B, really pursue anything while there's so much flux in terms of their schedule and really everything else.
I should have mentioned this earlier. We'll wrap up on this note. So the NFL draft is going to happen. It's not going to happen the way we know it. But ESPN, NFL Network, are they going to have people on site? How are people nervous about that? How are we going to consume the draft?
That's so funny, because that's actually one of the questions I've been checking out as well. And nobody knows. This happened so fast. I think you could have told probably a week ago that was going to be canceled, but it just got announced yesterday. And I think that, you know, there are contingency plans, and it's going to turn into a studio draft, just like, you know, it was back in the 80s, I suppose. but what it's going to look like and where the cameras are going to be and what the war rooms are going to look like. Nobody has any clue yet on that. So that's something that they're still trying to sort through.
Gotcha. All right. Well, I appreciate you giving me some time in this weird, bizarre, scary world we're living in right now. Stay safe. And I'm sure I'll get you on soon again as things evolve and we get some more news on the future of sports.
Yeah, hopefully we can tell a few more jokes like we usually do that next time. Stay safe, Jimmy.
You too. Thank you, John. Take care. All right, that wraps up this edition of the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast. Appreciate you guys tuning in. If you have downtime, the archives are there filled with great guests. Give some past episodes a listen. If you want to subscribe, would always appreciate that. And we'll see you next week right here on the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast. Take care.